Hello and welcome to today's webinar on the effects of the Great Resignation on the AM hiring landscape. My name is Sophie, I'm the digital marketer at Alexander Daniels Global, and I was also responsible for writing with the help of my colleagues and curating the content for the 2022 AM salary survey report from Alexander Daniels Global. So the content for today's webinar is going to be based largely on the 2022 AM salary survey report. Thank you to all of those who could join us live. We hope you enjoy.
Founded Alexander Daniels Global 6 years ago on a belief that additive manufacturing would change people's lives, and we've made it our mission to enable that revolution through talent. So we work globally with the entire value chain of the industry, machine OEMs, material developers, software companies, and the adopters of those technologies in order to identify talent to support their strategy and growth objectives. So that gives you a little bit of an overview to kind of who I am and why we do what we do. I'll just quickly hand over to Sophie because I believe there are still people joining. So while they're joining, we'll just go through the housekeeping again very quickly.
Yeah, it's very simple. As I mentioned originally, for those that have just joined and missed out on the first few minutes. Yes, your microphones and cameras will remain off throughout the webinar, but we do encourage you to use the chat feature for any comments or questions. I'm going to keep my eye there and make sure that they get dropped into the conversation for Nick to answer and make sure that you get all the information from today that you need. And this webinar is now being recorded, and you will receive a copy of that recording once the event is over. Okay, so let's move on to today's agenda. So today we're going to be covering the growth of the AM talent market, how that's changed from the previous year. We're going to look at the demand for talent versus the talent that is actually available in the talent market at the moment. We're going to look at the impact of the Great Resignation using numbers and data from the 2022 salary survey report. We're going to cover a little bit on who actually has the hiring power in that means for hiring companies, and also what hiring companies can do to maneuver around that situation as it stands this year. And then we're going to discuss a few tips for the future moving forward following the Great Resignation.
Thanks, Sophie. Well, let's get stuck straight into the topic. The Great Resignation was a term that was first used, in sort of late 2021, and it's sort of been come to be referred to the big quit as well, an economic trend in which employees have voluntarily resigned from their jobs en masse, something that was first really seen back in early 2021, and actually something that I saw in the additive manufacturing industry as well, probably in the summer of 2021. And where we sort of tied this research together with research we've done was I was recruiting a role for a client in the summer of 2021. And as we do, we look to identify talent that's suitable for a role. And in doing so, started to notice a pattern. A lot of the candidates that I saw who I felt were relevant for the role had changed companies within 2021. So started to sort of think, well, I wonder actually how many people have changed companies in the additive manufacturing industry in the last 12 months following the global pandemic. And that's what led us to do further research on this and align it to what has been a macro trend in the global economy where people have been leaving their jobs en masse. Now, at a macro level, the Great Resignation is categorized by a backlog of resignations. In the global pandemic of 2020, there was a lot of uncertainty, and so people were more fearful of leaving stable and established jobs that they were in. Perhaps then when the market started to improve in 2021, felt more confident about resigning from their employers. We also saw, you know, challenges, you know, for people who were burnt out during the pandemic, you know, and as a result of that, again, you know, leaving their jobs. Equally, we saw societal change and the way of working change significantly. We were thrown into, you know, a situation where, you know, working from home became the norm, you know, not the exception. And, you know, as a result of that, you know, our lives changed. You know, we were able to spend more time with our families, and the freedom that that provided was something that people started to enjoy. And the thought of coming back into an office environment or a work environment every day changed people's perceptions and thoughts about what was important to them in their lives, which again, you know, created more desire to change jobs. And at the same time, you know, you had a subsection of society who perhaps, you know, through the pandemic were close to or approaching retirement age, and, you know, probably saw that as an opportunity to take early retirement, you know, rather than coming back to the workforce, make that decision to leave the workforce. And, you know, all of those factors played a part in, you know, what we've seen at a macroeconomic level, which has been characterized as the Great Resignation. So that's something that we've seen, you know, in the broader economy, and we will talk about, you know, well, what have we seen in additive manufacturing, and how does that impact the industry? If we look at the additive manufacturing industry, you know, since we got into it, which is now, you know, sort of 6 years plus, you know, there's always been a scarcity of talent. You know, in fact, Alexander Daniels Global, you know, is in existence, really, because, you know, when we researched the industry some 7 years ago, a lot of companies we spoke to said that finding good people was a challenge for them. What we've seen in the last sort of 18 months is a significant shift in a number of areas of the market, which have precipitated, you know, an even more challenging market for hiring. If we look at the difference between 2020 and 2021, for example, you know, in 2020, we could see that for every job advertised, there were 22 professionals, you know, with experience in additive manufacturing. Now, that cuts across all different types of role. So that could be in engineering, sales, marketing, etc. So, you know, don't think that, you know, for every job that might be advertised, there are 22 suitable professionals. Quite to the contrary. But just in terms of the number of jobs advertised to the number of people in the industry, that was the ratio. Now, that decreased significantly in 2021. And the driver for that, you know, can be characterized by both an increase in demand, you know, which we'll come on to talk about in a short while. The number of candidates that were looking for jobs decreased, but also the number of companies looking for talent increased significantly in 2021, which was another driver for perhaps confidence for people changing jobs. So let's just take a look at what that means in reality. You know, if we break that down, you know, and look specifically at North America. So what I think is really, really interesting here is to look at the percentage of professionals who changed jobs in 2021. You know, the research that we did identified that over 37% of additive manufacturing professionals changed companies in 2021. I mean, that's a startling statistic. That's over a third of the workforce moved companies in 2021. Now, to put that into context and to sort of validate somewhat this idea of the Great Resignation, our research suggests that a very modest 8% of professionals changed companies in 2020, which we can directly attribute to the pandemic. You know, as I said earlier, people were less inclined to change companies in 2020 to give up the security of their current employer for the risk of moving to a new employer. that can be attributed to that. Moreover, you know, we can sort of see much more limited growth in the workforce in 2021 versus, 2020, where we saw, 40,000 new entrants to the AM workforce between 2019 and 2020, compared to only 20,000 new entrants to the market in 2021. So as we look at later the jobs data, we can start to see why there is such a skill shortage starting to appear, in particular in the North American market, but even more acutely in the European market. So if we look at EMEA and compare that data, very similarly, we can see that in 2021, 38% of professionals changed companies by comparison to, again, a meager 8% who changed companies in 2020. I think what's even more startling about the data that we see for Europe, and again precipitates a really, really tight talent market, is the fact that there was simply no growth in professionals entering additive manufacturing in 2021 from 2020. Now, that can be for a number of reasons. I don't think that there were no new entrants to the market. I believe that there were a lot of new entrants to the market, but we also believe that there were people who left the industry, as categorized by the Great Resignation. People took early retirement, or, people decided not to come back into full-time work, linked to their profession, but maybe took different careers that enabled them to continue the lifestyle that they'd become accustomed to, through the global pandemic. So, here we see, through both the data in the US and data for EMEA, significant turnover of staff within the AM industry. So, what does that mean? And, how does that impact the ability of organizations to hire? Well, we have to take that into the context of the requirements of business. Our research showed that in North America, there was a 340% or 346% increase in the number of available jobs posted on LinkedIn in additive manufacturing in North America in 2021 versus 2020. And in Europe, that figure was even higher, 515% increase. So if we think back to the statistics that we talked about earlier, we have increasing demand from organizations looking to hire. We have now over a third of the workforce, both in the US and EMEA, having changed jobs in the last 12 months and therefore unlikely to move again, creating a very, very challenging recruitment market for employers within additive manufacturing. So what does that mean for the industry? Well, if a third of the workforce changed companies in the last 12 months, it's safe to say they're unlikely to change again. Now, the US jobs market is a little bit more fluid, with probably slightly more flexibility and likeliness that people will change jobs more quickly. But that's not the case in Europe. It's unlikely that people change jobs every year. Probably every 3 years is more reasonable. And even in the US, that's also more likely. So it means that for companies hiring, a third of the workforce are unlikely to be looking for a new job at all. So we've shrunk the potential talent pool that we're searching in. Now, that means that when hiring, it's likely to take longer. The power, which we'll come on to talk about, is going to sit more in the hands of the employee, and therefore salary expectations, and we see this now happening, will increase. And the need for hiring and the ability to hire is going to be difficult for internal HR and recruitment teams, where advertising a job simply won't be effective. And therefore, more targeted and direct sourcing is going to be required to identify and unearth the candidates that would be suitable. And therefore, accessing support from industry experts like Alexander Daniels Global will be perhaps essential in any hiring strategies that businesses would look to deploy in 2022. So we talked a little bit about who holds the hiring power, within the AM talent market. And I think here we have some sort of tips or strategies for employers that, can help manage hiring in 2022. I mean, I think notably having an efficient recruitment process is critical. And what do we mean by an efficient recruitment process? Well, nobody likes waiting to find out whether they're suitable for a role or not. And nobody likes waiting for feedback from interviews. So for candidates, it's really important that, when reviewing their CVs, that clients are able to provide fast feedback as to their suitability for the role and to therefore organize interviews where they are suitable. But furthermore, try to reduce the time it takes to run the process altogether. If you're competing with other companies for talent and your recruitment process takes 2 to 3 months and another company takes 2 to 3 weeks, then that company will steal a march, make an offer, and before you've even got through your process, the candidate will be gone. So it's really, really important to plan your recruitment process, engage all the decision makers who are required to be involved in that process so that we're not to-ing and fro-ing, trying to coordinate diaries this week and next week, and actually it spreads into next month. Let's really plan to make sure that people are available to interview, people are available to provide feedback. We provide that feedback quickly to candidates and talent, and then we work through that process in as swift and efficient way as possible to ensure that you have the best possible chance of competing with organizations that do have an efficient recruitment process. The next point is really important as well, selling versus interviewing. I think it's long forgotten that, an interview process is two-way. It's not just a company assessing whether a candidate is suitable. In fact, in this market, the power sits in the candidate's hands. So it's almost reverse. Really, it's the candidate who's interviewing the companies, because they will have multiple companies that are interested in hiring them. So I think it's really, really important as an employer, when you're going through the interview process, that you don't just see this as you interviewing them to decide if they're suitable. You need to appreciate that they are interviewing your company to decide if you're a company they want to join. So in that case, we advocate this idea of selling versus interviewing. Now, that doesn't mean you don't assess their suitability for the role in a constructive and effective way, using all the right sort of processes, such as competency-based interviewing. But you also make sure that that process gives every opportunity to the individual to learn about the organization, to learn about the culture, to learn about the role, to learn about their team, to learn about the environment that they'll be coming into, the challenges that they'll face, and why this could be an exciting opportunity for them. And the organizations that do this the best, they're the ones that really get what's important for the individual, and they make sure that through that interview process, there's a lot of opportunity for the individual to get to know the company, to get to know the people, to make an informed decision about whether this would be the right next step for them in their career. Now, this might seem like a strange one. Don't negotiate on salary. So let me explain what I mean by that. Again, too often, organizations offer a range, for any particular role, and inevitably see, the negotiation on salary as just that, a negotiation. Well, nobody likes that. Candidates don't enjoy it. It's uncomfortable. It's uncomfortable to negotiate salary. And, that can create, in their minds, a barrier, that wasn't there before. You've had a fantastic, efficient recruitment process. The individual really loves the company, loves the role, loves the team. And then we get to a negotiation on salary, which is uncomfortable, which is not warranted, and actually can drive a barrier between the individual who wants to join the business and the business itself. In this instance, we advocate an approach of give the candidate what they want. Now, we don't think that, you should give a candidate something they're not worth, but give them what they're worth. And if what they're worth is what they want, then don't negotiate. Don't start with a lower offer than you want to pay them to see if you can get away with it. You know, just offer them what they want. You know, the time lost and the goodwill lost, be it through a poor negotiation, could, in a worst case scenario, mean you end up losing the candidate. You know, but in a best case scenario, they join with a bitter taste in their mouth that could have easily been overcome by simply having a better process around the offer. And in this case, I would certainly take the advice of a recruiter if the candidate has come to you through that means, who knows the candidate, who knows what their expectations are, and can set a very definitive guideline for what the candidate is likely to accept. Just think about the difference, you know, a candidate feels if the offer that you make is exactly what they want. Think how pleased they'll be. Think how engaged. Think how motivated they'd be versus saving £5,000 or £10,000 or euros or dollars by trying to negotiate on something that is lower. So don't negotiate on salary. And then finally, be flexible. And what we mean by this is people have become used to more flexible working, you know, whether that's a hybrid solution with 1 or 2 days in the office and 2 or 3 days from home, or, you know, whether that means you have to look at employing people who don't live in the country in which you're based or in the state in which your organization is based. You know, now with the global pandemic teaching us that, you know, video conferencing is a norm that we all accept and embrace. Does somebody need to be in the office every day, or, you know, at the factory every day? You know, in particular, if you consider sales roles, you know, individuals that will be on the road visiting customers, you know, having an office base that they have to go into every day isn't necessarily required anymore. You know, now, understandably, for, you know, hands-on technical engineering, R&D led roles, that's important. And therefore, in that case, you know, maybe not something you can offer. But, you know, wherever possible now, if you can be flexible, both on location, offering hybrid remote working, it's going to help you to recruit talent that you might not have access to otherwise. So those are 4 key tips that we advise that can help you in your recruitment process, where, you know, certainly in 2022, talent tend to hold more power. So just looking at the stats in a bit more detail here that comes directly from our salary survey to kind of highlight where this demand is coming from. You know, of the companies who responded to our survey, 85% of them are looking to hire between 1 and 20 people in 2022. You know, so we can see there that almost every company in the industry is hiring mode now, with certainly sales roles being some of the most high in demand roles. Now, in a bit of good news for employers, you know, what we can see, you know, much like our 2020 salary survey that highlighted, you know, 35% of professionals being extremely likely to change jobs in the next 12 months, we see now that 39% of talent are declaring themselves as extremely likely to change jobs in the next 12 months. So again, we see some fluidity, but this presents another problem for employers that we really need to consider and something that we'll look at going forward, because while it may be very challenging to recruit the right people, that's only one part of the story. It's going to be even harder to retain the people you've got. So what's really, really important when thinking about hiring is not just hiring, but also retaining. So what does this mean? We've sort of labeled retention hiring here as the goal, you know, so this is hiring for the long term. You know, this is hiring for individuals that are going to stay with the organization, but also taking into consideration the people that we already have within the organization and how do we retain those. So what is retention hiring? Well, it basically refers to a strategic approach to hiring that spans the entire recruitment process and onwards into employee retention strategies. It recognizes the importance of finding the right people from the get-go and then focus on nurturing them in the role and in the organization beyond that. So how do we do this? You know, how do we get the right people into the organization that we can nurture for the long term? You know, I think it's long been said that, you know, we can hire for attitude and train for skills. That was a mantra that sort of sat with me from my very early days in recruitment when I first became a manager. And I think sort of holds true for many organizations now. And I believe that there are some roles, you know, for which a certain level of experience is important. But, you know, if we're looking to hire people that have a long-term fit and success within an organization, we can't just hire based on the skills that they have. We have to hire based on the sort of personality and profile that they bring to the team. You know, what kind of competencies beyond purely their technical skills, whether that be in sales or marketing or engineering, do they bring? You know, do they have the same values as the organization? Do they believe in the vision and the mission of the organization? Do they have a good cultural fit with the team? You know, more often than not now, when I'm talking to clients, you know, we get a job brief and, you know, let's put it into a metaphor. You know, we have a square hole and the client is looking for a square peg. Well, actually, the right sized circle peg may fit in that square hole. There'll be a little bit of room around the edges that might need filling in. But if they've got the right attitude, that little bit of room around the edges, you know, could conceivably fit quite well and could be trained. So I think in the context of this year and the challenges that we see in terms of hiring, you know, being a bit more open-minded to what a candidate can bring to the table and, you know, taking a look at some of those round pegs wouldn't be a bad strategy. But, you know, make sure when assessing them that, you know, they fit what the organization is looking for in terms of culture and values. Now, where we are looking to get those square pegs, shall we say, we need to be really, really clear in what we mean by that. So, you know, it's very important when hiring that before you even start the process, we understand why are we hiring this role? What are we looking for them to do? What will the success factors be for this role? And make sure that all of that encompassed in a job description that would help either your internal HR or recruitment team to identify the right people, or can be used to guide an external partner like Alexander Daniels Global in a recruitment process. At the same time, a well-structured job description helps an individual assessing your company understand exactly what you're looking for. It also gives them confidence that you have thought about your hiring process, thought about where this role sits within the organization and why they would be an attractive part of your business. So that's another important bit. I think then finally, you know, be clear, be honest and don't overpromise. And what we mean by this is, you know, candidates and talent are very savvy, you know, when approaching an organization. You know, I think it's important that they understand what the expectations of the role are and what their responsibilities are going to be. Don't overpromise and underdeliver. You know, don't set an expectation for what they'll be doing and how exciting everything will be and, you know, what, you know, working for the company will be like if that's not true to form. Because if the reality is very different, you know, when they join, they'll experience a cognitive dissonance that, you know, will from day one be uncomfortable and ultimately doesn't lead to a long-term successful hire. Now, the benefits of having a very structured approach to hiring, where you take time to consider what you're looking for, where they fit in the organization, what the success factors are, you take a good approach to the recruitment process, you hire for potential, you know, all of that has significant benefits to an organization in terms of productivity, reduced cost. If you think every time you lose somebody from the organization, you know, there's a significant cost, both in terms of the resource that you lose while you don't have them or don't have them replaced, but also potentially external costs or lost revenue that you don't make from sales. You know, the amount of training that you need to do will be you know, reduced potentially by making the right hires in the first place. It significantly improves, you know, return on investment of hiring and, you know, ultimately, you know, the customer experience. You know, Richard Branson is very famous for advocating, you know, this, where, you know, he puts employees before customers ultimately, because he knows that they're the team that deliver the customer experience that Virgin has become known for. So that talks about it from a hiring standpoint, but then we also need to think about the employees that we've got. You know, if we want to retain the people in our organization, then, you know, we need to make sure that we understand, you know, what drives them and what motivates them, you know, and for different types of individual, there are different strategies that you would look to adopt. You know, the top performers, you know, these are the people that, you know, we really need to retain within an organization, you know, and from our research, you know, what we know as the main reason why people want to change jobs, it's about challenging work. So, you know, for the top performers in your organization, you need to constantly challenge them and give them, you know, new challenging work that engages, drives and motivates them. You know, maybe this is supported by additional training and very definitely within a defined succession planning process that gives them opportunities to step up and progress within an organization. For average performers, it's difficult to define, you know, who these people are, but, you know, they're perhaps a little bit more stable within your organization, perform at a level which is what's expected, but not pushing the envelope in terms of, you know, where they want to be and where they want to go. And for these types of individuals, you know, common strategies that you can adopt to continue to that will support their loyalty is to offer more personalized benefits and perks. You know, we understand that some people work better, you know, under certain types of managers. So, you know, get these people into the right team with the right manager, you know, and they'll stay and they'll be loyal. And, you know, I think if you can recognize their contributions to the business through social recognition programs, you know, they will feel a part of the company and incentivized to stay and remain loyal. Now, for underperformers, you know, we have to assess, you know, what the cause of that underperformance is, address any necessary skills gaps, and then ensure that they're in the right job given their level of experience. You know, it's probably not the first idea to take a you know, once historic GE approach of simply cutting the bottom 10%, but instead considering, you know, how can we redeploy, you know, these people into roles in which their skills are going to be better suited for their level of expertise, or can we support them in getting to the level that they need to be in order to be successful? So that talks a little bit about retention and to sort of support what I said earlier, you know, in terms of what talent really values the most, you know, the number one, the number one sort of value that we see, you know, from talent in our salary survey is new challenges. Secondary to that is salary, and thirdly to that is career progression, and that is, you know, linked to new challenges. So, you know, thinking about that when thinking about retaining, you know, the workforce that we have is important. And actually, you know, we have an upcoming webinar, you know, in May that will explore, you know, this part of the talent market in much more detail. That brings us to the end of the webinar. Thank you for listening to me. You know, I'm going to sort of bring Sophie back in now to sort of pick up on, you know, what's been said and take things from there.
Thank you, Nick. I think you've offered a wealth of knowledge there through that webinar. We haven't had any questions yet, but the general consensus that was coming through in comments was that hiring has been, or at least that the talent market has been moving a lot over the last 12 to 24 months, something that I've mentioned in the comments as well, that we've seen at ADG. So, you know, it's definitely, we're in the middle of it right now. If you do have any questions on anything that you've heard just now, please do drop them in the chat. I can see we've got a very active Eliana, who keeps commenting, which is fantastic. Thank you for that. While we do wait for any questions, I will just let you all know that you can stay connected with us at ADG, not just through social media, although we are on LinkedIn, Twitter, and on YouTube, but we also have monthly newsletters. Some of you may already be subscribed to those. We do offer a newsletter specifically for hiring companies, employers, where we showcase, you know, hot candidate profiles, where we focus on talent market analyses that focus on certain regions each month, which gives you a roundup of what is going on in the market. We also do offer a hot job newsletter. So if you are a job seeker and you're looking at the moment to move, potentially, you can sign up to that. If you give me a moment, I'll drop those into the chat. If you would like to be featured as a hot candidate, you can also get in touch with me. My email is here on the screen, and I can give you more information surrounding that. And I can see we do just have a question that's come in. Thank you very much. So the question is, would Alexander Daniels Global provide any career coaching for younger people looking to get into additive?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's a lot of resources that we offer already, you know, through the website that, you know, we could direct you to in terms of, you know, how to get into additive and what employers are looking for and things like that. On a one-to-one basis, it's probably very difficult for us to directly provide career coaching to individuals, but certainly think if that's something there's a lot of interest in, and I know we have done something similar in the past, we could do you know, a webinar, for example, that is directly focused on, you know, entry level talent and, you know, what they can do to access the industry. In fact, I think, if memory serves me right, this was a big topic at an event that my colleague Jennifer Killingback was part of maybe last year. So for whoever asked that question, we might be able to direct you to a previous webinar that Jennifer was involved in that discussed exactly that topic. So from our perspective, I think there's lots of tools and resources we already have. We are able to perhaps provide something on a group wide level in the form of a webinar, and hope that could support any new talent looking to access the industry.
Just dropping into the chat now, that talk that Jennifer was involved in, that was in collaboration with Women in 3D Printing. It was the virtual career fair, and she did a really great job of explaining how young people, they can get into a career in additive manufacturing. So you can have a look at that there. I also did just drop in the hot candidates and talent market analysis newsletter subscription link there. If you are particularly looking for the hot job newsletter, I'm just going to drop that link in now. There you go. And then we have great resources, like Nick mentioned, primarily the AM Salary Survey Report, which if you haven't already had a chance to download that, but you'd be interested to see more about it after this webinar, you can find the download page here. And I think that's it for all of our resources right now. If there are any more questions before we say thank you for joining us, then please do drop them in the chat. I can see we've got somebody writing right now. Just one last comment, perhaps. Oh, I think that's dropped. That's okay. All right. Well, Thank you very much, everyone, for joining us today. I'm really glad that you were able to be here. The recording of the webinar will be obviously edited and then sent to you all via email. If you came through via LinkedIn and you did put on the sign up form there that you would rather not be contacted by us, that's completely fine. But we will be using your email just to send you the recording of the webinar. Great. So thank you very much, Nick, for sharing all of this great information. And thank you very much to everyone else for joining us today. And we really hope to see you for the next webinar, which, before you all jump off, I will drop into the chat now so you can see what that's going to be all about. Great. Thank you very much, everyone. And we look forward to seeing you next time. Bye.
Goodbye. Bye-bye.